Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our Lady of the Light, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my dear, and it might be April's Fool's Day, but the only fools are those who do not recognize Yeshua as their Savior and the only way to the Father.
Amen to that.
Let us give the Lord our admiration.
Oh, Lord, our God, we highly adore you and thank you for becoming our only Savior. You are the God of all gods that move mountains and calm any storm, and you are the light within us that pierces the darkness. And we give you all the praise as we push through any hardship, any disease, any loneliness or fatigue, because through you we have the strength and motivation to conquer the enemy, knowing you are coming to rescue us from life's perils. For the joy of you, Lord, is our strength and our refuge. Therefore, we are more than conquerors. Bless all the listeners tonight, and may tonight's program be concentrated unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's begin with an update on Israel.
Yes, as soon as I must say, politically in America, there's a lot of moving parts going on, with the word of the day being
tariffs.
Will Trump win this war of much controversy?
Well, we hope in the long run the answer will be yes.
And today and tomorrow are a few very important elections that we'll address next week.
And considering Israel?
Well, Hamas continues to shoot rockets, although fewer into southern Israel. So the Gaza war continues with more tunnels found and approximately 200 more terrorists recently killed. However, now Hamas has decided it would be in their best interest to agree to the latest ceasefire agreement pushed by Egypt, perhaps because the Palestinians are rising up in northern Gaza and want Hamas to leave, or so it is being perceived by some that say it's just a tactic from Hamas to use as an excuse why they must consider a new deal. Hamas, as before, is telling the people they have no fuel because Israel, because Israel has stopped the aid from coming in, but we all know that more than 25,000 trucks entered Gaza during the ceasefire, carrying nearly 450,000 tons of aid.
So there is enough food for a long period of time.
Right, if Hamas would let the civilians have it.
Anyhow, they are talking about another ceasefire?
But a ceasefire now would interrupt Israel's military momentum, allowing Hamas to rearm and reorganize.
An agreement could sap Israel's momentum.
For sure. But currently, it's Hamas' only chance to survive. And for Israel, a gamble that saving lives today won't save more lives tomorrow. And right now, the IDF has surprised Hamas with new and more effective battlefield tactics, which caught Hamas off guard and have been able to adapt quickly. And again, they just need time and space to regroup.
Which a ceasefire could accomplish.
An operational pause would shore up its defenses and to recalibrate. As of today, Israel has offered a tough counteroffer, not yet fully disclosed, but the main sticking point is both sides want the other completely out of Gaza, which means fighting will continue.
And hopefully Israel can find the 24 still alive hostages.
Well, that is our prayer.
At the same time, Israel is striking targets in Syria.
Yes, belonging to the remaining Iranian-backed militants who continue to shoot toward the Golan Heights. And don't forget about Hezbollah, who still have military equipment in southern Lebanon, thereby breaking the ceasefire agreement, allowing Israel to strike them as well, which they did again early this morning.
And war continues severely in Ukraine.
Yeah, as negotiations continue in Saudi Arabia. But Putin is demanding Trump lifts their sanctions, especially on the SWIFT international banking messaging system responsible for all money transfers between countries. As well, our mineral deal with Ukraine, well, it stalled.
Zelensky says it wants into NATO.
Which will not happen.
And all eyes are on Yemen.
Yes, that in spite of our attacks. The Iran-backed Houthis continue to shoot missiles at Israel, and Trump has now deployed the B-52 stealth bombers to our military base in Diego Garcia in Africa.
Those are amazing, hard-to-see bombers.
Yes, and too advanced for any Houthi radar. As well, Trump has sent a second aircraft carrier ship to the Red Sea.
Any news on Iran?
Well, yes, they have just revealed a fourth underground missile system and say they plan on a new one every week.
They showcase their power as a deterrent.
But they better act cautiously because Netanyahu has finally received those bunker busters that Biden had stopped, which, by the way, is how Israel took out Nasrallah last year, for he was 60 feet underground in a tunnel.
And lastly, Erdogan of Turkey is nervous over their protest to remove him from power.
Oh, yeah, he is. And by the way, there's another man in waiting in the wings.
Okay, we do welcome all your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always appreciated, and we will be sure to include you in our monthly newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, last week we covered Daniel's prophecy of chapter 9, verses 24 through 27.
Yes, we did, and we did receive a few responses, some saying, thanks for helping me to understand. Two, oh yeah, I got it, but don't ask me to explain it to someone else.
Yeah, and we get that.
Yeah. So, to help with that, we will do a short summary, but in my own words.
Like a paraphrase.
Yes.
Verse 24 of Daniel 9 just gives the scope of the prophecy.
That's right. That what it expects to accomplish, and that is six things in 70 weeks of biblical years. And to be sure that you don't get hung up on the years, which vary according to the calendar, he also gives the weeks, so to number the exact amount of days. So there's no confusion, which, by the way, is 176,400 days.
And in verse 25 tells us when to begin counting.
Yes, at a certain decree from the Persian king. Then in verse 26 adds more information that the Messiah will be crucified after the 7 plus 62 weeks, and that just equals 69 weeks. And the reason it is split up is to show the weeks it took to rebuild the temple in Ezra's day, or 49 years.
That's just for your information.
Yeah, right. We just need to look particularly at the 69th week out of the 70. That starts from that command from the Persian king we know to be Artaxerxes.
Thanks to Nehemiah chapter 2.
Yes. And that was for the Jews to go and finish Jerusalem by rebuilding the city walls, which is, Camps 2, 173,880 days till the Messiah is crucified.
But not for himself, for us.
And since we are now in that intermission, so to speak, that still leaves 1 week or 7 years left of the original prophecy.
So again, at the 69th week of years, the Messiah will be cut off.
Yes, and it's at this event that pauses the prophecy, so to allow the Gentiles to be brought into the fold. So there is a mystery gap as we have talked about a lot, right after the 26th verse.
And the clock begins again when verse 27 is realized.
And that leader or prince from hell, we know to be the Antichrist, comes. As it says, from the same area of the people who destroyed the temple in 70 AD.
Which we know that were the Romans.
Who will confirm a military peace treaty with, not every nation, but many nations, to include Israel, for that final week of 7 years of the 490-year prophecy.
And it goes on.
Yes, because in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years exactly,
he abominates the temple.
That's right. But by the end of the week, or 7 years, he will be made desolate. Again, there is a time lapse between verses 26 and 27 of, according to Hosea 6, it'll be 2,000 years. When the second coming comes and he returns to earth, and that would be counting from the year 32 AD when he was crucified.
Right now, we are in that gap period.
We are, because the church was a mystery and therefore not written into the Old Testament scriptures. But it's there by absence of time in certain verses, as we just saw. And actually, the six goals won't be totally fulfilled to the end of the last week, which is the tribulation and the onset of the Messianic kingdom. So again, this prophecy is really remarkable, for it tells us the precise day to begin counting when the command goes forth from King Artaxerxes telling the Jews still remaining in Babylon to go to Jerusalem and finish the rebuilding of the city.
Their fellow Jews needed more help.
Yeah, they did. So counting from that first day of the command, counting to the 69th week, the Messiah would come to die for our sins. But first, they would hail him as prince or king on Nisan 10, the day we call Palm Sunday, and the only day while he was here that Jesus let them hail him as king. And that was prophesied by Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9.
Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
So we hope that helps you to be able to share this prophecy. And here's just a little more history, just for you. This specific decree was given as the third pronouncement from a Persian king. But the previous two decrees were about the temple only. Now this third edict, years later, was to build a city.
And we know when this third decree was given from reading Nehemiah.
Yes, Nehemiah chapter 2. And that tells us who, Nisan 1 of the 20th year of the king's reign, which we know to be, was in 445 B.C., which on our calendar was March 14th. So that's the day to start counting, 173,880 days, which is 69 weeks of years.
And as we said, that very week, it happened as prophesied.
Yes. Jesus as Messiah the Prince rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday, Nisan 10, or April 6, 32 A.D., exactly to the very day that Daniel prophesied. 4 days later, he was crucified on Thursday, still Nisan 14, Passover, till sundown, when the Feast of Unleavened Bread would begin, turning the date to Nisan 15, again at sundown, on Thursday.
So, he ate the Passover Seder on Wednesday night and was crucified on Thursday.
Yes, and remember, it was still Passover, Nisan 14, until sundown, when the calendar changed to Nisan 15. Which is probably why Jesus had stern words after he had rode in on the donkey in Luke 19, verse 42, saying, they should have known, especially them in this their day, because Daniel predicted it to the very weak. As well, in Matthew 24, Jesus tells them straight out to read Daniel so they could know.
So we should also know what Daniel said.
You think? Mm-hmm. But few want to study prophecy, and many do study the Bible, but some as well ignore prophecy. Like the Jews knew their Torah. In fact, they had to memorize it by their bar mitzvah. But they overlooked the books of the prophets, so they didn't know. But praise God, we know there will always be a remnant that will desire to know the deeper truths of God.
And those listening right now are part of the remnant.
Oh, I do agree.
So let's move on in chapter 10.
Yes, and chapter 10 begins as an introduction, sort of like a prelude to what is coming, and continues in chapter 11 and chapter 12. But Daniel would receive a message in the third year of King Cyrus.
So not too long after chapter 5.
Right. So we know Daniel was now up in age.
Yeah, he was probably around 86.
For he did not return with the approximately 50,000 who went back to Jerusalem to build the temple. But Daniel, it says, was in mourning, probably for his people, and was fasting from desirable foods and wine for 21 days when the messenger came to him.
We also see that this time span was during the spring feast.
Yes, and a few days after that. Remember, since Exodus 12, they went by the religious calendar. So the first month would be Nisan. So it was on the 24th as he, along with a few other men, were standing by the Tigris River when he had a vision that no one else saw because they felt terrified and for some reason it fled away.
Verse 5, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet were burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude.
This was definitely Yeshua. And he wore that white particular linen that only the priests could wear. And Daniel felt lifeless and entered a deep sleep with his face to the ground.
Man, I can't wait to see that.
And we will soon. Which, by the way, the other beloved, John, he saw the same man in Revelation 1.
That, of course, was Yeshua, dressed in similar array.
Yes. Anyhow, Gabriel then comes along and awakens Daniel, who was trembling, and calls him as he did before, greatly beloved, saying to stand up, for I have been sent to you. And just so you know, I was sent on the first day of your humbling of yourself. But the prince, of course we know that means ruler, over Persia withstood me 21 days.
Daniel will see this man clothed in linen again in chapter 12.
Yes, he does. And we should point out that there are different Hebrew words in the Old Testament for linen. This one is number 906, bod, which is the only word for linen worn by the priest, and the only word used for Yeshua's linen.
So when prophetic scripture says a man clothed in linen, that is Jesus Christ.
Yes. And another example of why we should not only read scripture, but study it. And one of the ways you can study it is by looking up certain words that the Holy Spirit will put on your heart to do.
Amen.
Anyhow, the prince of Persia withheld Gabriel till Michael came along to help him so that he could get to Daniel with the message of the future. So we know that we fight the enemy spiritually down here. But there are the good angels who fight the bad angels, who, you know, those that rebelled, and they do that up in the heavenlies.
Which is confirmed in Ephesians 6.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, every time I read these passages, I have to sit back and try to take that all in.
Yeah, it's very supernatural.
And as we've talked about before, God has his many good angels with some in his divine counsel. And he lets them make important decisions. And we know that as in the case of Ahab.
1 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 18.
And also Psalm 82:1, which is very clear in the ESV. Which says,
God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, little g gods, he holds judgment.
So bottom line, as we all know, there are different ranks of bad angels. And there are good angels also with different ranks, of which some counsel together and make decisions, of which, of course, God oversees, which is what we know as well as humans. God enjoys letting us make our own decisions, our own choices. Yes, some he might intervene, but some he lets go for lesson learning.
He is a sovereign God.
Amen. So Gabriel continues to speak with Daniel, who addresses him as my Lord. But don't let that confuse you. It is a small L and often used to or about someone thought to be better than themselves.
Well, it also means master.
Yes. And then Gabriel gives Daniel his final and long message about what comes after, which, of course, we'll pick up next week in chapter 11.
So, an extra long message.
Yes, and by the way, that long message continues into chapter 12. So, we'll be in that for a few weeks. And in closing of chapter 10, Gabriel also tells him how he will return, because he's got to help fight that prince of Persia. And as well, the prince of Greece will soon join in. But he's confident because he has the archangel Michael by his side, the greatest of all contenders. So till next week, please read chapter 11. And if you want, continue into chapter 12. Where we'll study this amazing message from God sent through the angel Gabriel to include what was soon coming for Daniel and what was coming much later in the last generation. But let me ask you, you might be listening for the first time. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Luke 21 says, you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Those who are lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.